Beyond the headlines. This is World Insight.
Hello and welcome to World Insight. I'm Tian Wei. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is to travel to China, his second visit since 2022. He will be accompanied by three federal ministers and a business delegation. Steady progress with China-German relations has been made in recent years. China remained Germany's most important trading partner for the eighth year in a row last year, 2023. Germany's direct investment in China increased by 4.3% to $12.7 billion last year. So what's so significant about China-Germany ties? Let's loop in our panelists. For more discussion on China-German relations, in Berlin, Ulrich Bruckner, who is a Jean Monnet Professor for European Studies with the Stanford University. In Beijing, Wang Yiwei, Director of the Center for European Studies at Renmin University of China. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. With Chancellor Scholz's visit to China, China-German relations once again is becoming the hot topic for the world. Now, tell me more about what exactly it meant, the nature of this relationship now as you see it.
Olaf Scholz is visiting China as one of the most important trading partners in times in which we see a number of challenges for the global order. We are having elections in the European Parliament in a few weeks from now, and we are expecting major decisions happening in Washington in November. So in the Western world, a lot of things will change. And this will not only affect future relations and the question whether we move more in a protectionist direction or restore globalization that used to be beneficial both for China and for Germany.
What about the wind that you are feeling in Berlin right now? Which direction of the two that you just mentioned is it likely to blow?
Germany totally understands that decoupling is not an option. But we have heard not only in Brussels, but also in the public discussion in Germany, that de-risking is of high importance because Germany lived three life lies, that cheap security from the United States will last forever, energy imports from Russia will last forever, and a dependency on China when it comes to all kinds of products that we outsource to Asia and then re-import will last forever. So there is a need to de-risk and to diversify strategies. On the one hand, Olaf Scholz was reaching out to the Indo-Pacific, and Germany is much more engaged in different parts of the world in which it didn't pay as much attention as it currently does. But on the other hand, we see that China appears not necessarily as an enemy, but as someone who's not using its weight to stop Russia from killing Ukrainians. We also need to consider this in a bigger picture.
I think we should clarify that China is not backing Russia on the behavior in Ukraine. China never recognized either the four states in Ukraine, even Crimea, as a part of the Russia side. The China and the Russian relations have their own independent logic. And back to your question, China and German relations, of course, are one of the driving forces for the China-EU cooperation. For a long time, China-German trade is one-third of all the trade with 27 member states of the European Union. At the same time, also the high technology cooperation, investment, and today for digital and the green transformation, China and Germany is the natural partner.
We see very interesting combination of phenomena. On the one hand, Professor Bruckner, the so-called de-risking to reduce what some German call the dependency on Chinese goods and also diversifying. But at the same time, we also see German businesses increasing their investment in China and also working with Chinese counterparts on green technologies, even related to electronic vehicles. And at the same time, China has been once and again repeating its invitation for foreign investment, certainly including that from Germany. So how do you see these three very different rhetorics, different directions, and different phenomena going on at the same time? What does that mean for Chancellor Scholz's articulation about the future directions for China-Germany?
Well, it highlights the complexity of the nature of this relationship. on the one hand, and that is not a question whether we like the term or not, we are partners because we are so mutually dependent economically from each other that the current economic situation can only be improved if we go back to what used to be a functioning system of globalization. Germany is an export nation, China is an export nation, and we greatly benefit from having good relations with each other. That is the partner side. The competitor side is that Germany is very much committed to international rules as WTO rules, and we believe in free markets and have accessible markets. China didn't used to have this in the same way. So Mr. Scholz is trying to convince China to create something like a level playing field, that if there are overcapacities in China that are channeled to the European markets, for example, with electric vehicles, then we expect the same to happen with China. And there are good signs that this is happening. And when we go back to the rival part, there are geopolitical changes in which China has all the reasons to question the Pax Americana, that we have a world order that is dominated by the United States, that doesn't represent the current balance of power in the world, and therefore it wants to change the rules of the game. And this is a geopolitical threat or a challenge that is put into these categories. It's not meant to be an offensive term, but it describes the very different nature of the complex relationship.
We see a combination, as Mr. Bruckner earlier indicated, the complexity of issues. So which angle of this complexity are you looking into, and what does that mean for China-German relations regarding this, what many have been using, so-called de-risking?
Well, so-called de-risking actually is de facto decouple, which specifically identifies the de-risk from China, which is unfair. According to the market principles and economic rules, risk and opportunities always combine together, which you cannot just emphasize so-called de-risk. Otherwise, you also de-opportunities from Chinese market. Chinese market is most dynamic and huge in the world, not the traditional, but also in a digital and a green market as well. So-called de-risk, and even consider about so-called anti-subsidies of the China electronic vehicles, which is unfair. The Chinese comparative advantage in the economic vehicles is not because of the subsidies, actually, which China is a huge market. It's most independent and complete categories of the industries, and also because of the Chinese infrastructure. Now it's very high quality with the 5G, with the mutual connectivities, which contribute to the Chinese comparative advantage. The German and in general of the European Union cannot blame their declining comparative advantage. It's because of the risk from China. Actually, this is because of the war in Ukraine and the capitals flow away to the United States. That industries also flow away to the United States. So German and Europeans suffered from that and then blame China, which is unfair.
Just to follow up on the interesting example of electronic vehicles, Professor Bruckner, we see private Chinese EV companies are establishing what they call technology centers inside the European continent, which they are practicing in Europe for Europe strategy, just like many German firms are practicing in China for China strategy. How do you see these new and vibrant developments in the business sphere coming from smart minds from both sides trying to solve the problem? How much inspirations they can provide for the politicians to try to find some common ground?
Well, it is a very interesting case because it has a number of pros, but it also has a number of cons. The pros are that we currently have a government that is very committed to fight climate change, and everything that can help to reduce emissions is warmly welcome. On the other hand, in the European Union, no country is more dependent on the automotive industry than Germany, and everything that challenges this backbone of the German economy is a major risk for the functioning of the German model. So as long as the German manufacturers have problems to compete with new competitors from Asia that have a larger scale or a higher investment or whatever the comparative advantages is. We have to balance between the climate goals on the one hand and the risk for the German economy if this backbone is no longer competitive, and that might cause a number of protectionist initiatives that are communicated to the chancellor.
Professor Wang, your thoughts on this?
Well, it's very urgent for the German side to seek opportunities, not just in the name of the de-risk. From the German perspective, firstly, Trump comes back to the possibility. Secondly, the investigation of the subsidies of the, from the European Commission about the e-vehicles will be finalized in July. So should hurry up the process of the re-engage with China in this regard. Thirdly, the appearance is worse in the bigger companies, big countries in the West. Even next year, the investment and also economic growth is below zero. So I think the Chinese market is very crucial for Germany. So not in the name of the de-risk of something follow Americans and the influence. We need to build more healthy and trust relations between the two markets.
Both of you have been talking about an election elsewhere in the world that will have an impact, certainly on the world and certainly on what Germany is likely to experience in the near future and China as well. Now, given the fact that the Europeans are quite dependent on the security with the U.S., at the same time competing with the United States in economic and trade areas, how do you see the complexities that the German chancellor is facing, political and geopolitical wise?
Yes, we understand the complexity of a German and even for the European Union, because the world is also very complex, uncertainty. But compare the United States and Russia, which are major players in the world, European Union actually likely to have the certain relations with China. Germany now is a huge delegation, even about agriculture, Minister of Agriculture, which actually very seldom visits China. That means the German also very concerned about agriculture or the food safety, security problems. Security is about because of the rebellion of the, because of the law of support to Ukraine and the food. So of the farmers in Germany also demonstrate. And about the safety, because about the food safety supply chain in Africa, in the world. So that's reason I think we can have the new areas for further cooperate. And even for digital, this time for the digital and the new technologies, the ministers for China-German economic community with the dialogue, which also can seek more opportunities in the new front, like the digital and the green transformation.
Well, the situation is relatively simple. The war in Ukraine increases the dependency of Russia towards China, and it increases the dependency of the European Union and Germany towards the United States. And this has negative consequences for the economic development. And in times in which China also faces economic problems, the best possible solution would be that this war in Ukraine ends and we can concentrate on the recovery of our economy and improve our economic ties and develop strategies to deal with challenges ahead, like a new government in the United States. So the best possible thing China could do, and I think this will be a strong message by the German chancellor, is to use its leverage and it use its weight. And if this would come to an end, we could happily recover our economies, become the beneficial sides of partnership, and have a more relaxed stance, whatever happens in the United States, if it maybe moves in the direction of isolationism or protectionism that we have already seen with the Inflation Reduction Act, that, as Professor Wang rightly said, massively harmed the economy of the European Union and Germany in particular. So there's a lot we could do to improve the situation.
We see that the German colleagues is having a very tight time budget, particularly with the upcoming election results in the US. So Professor Wang, how do you see the urgencies that both sides apparently have, China, Germany, to make this relationship work?
Well, I agree with German colleagues said that we should stop this crisis as soon as possible, either in the Ukraine and in the Middle East. China actually is very helpfully to contribute to that kind of scenario. President Xi is visiting France and also Hungary, which is the presidency of the European Union for next half of this year, and also Serbia. China also helped to contribute with Switzerland to be the host of the third round of the International Conference on Ukraine, which will include Russia. The previous two, without Russia, actually is empty talking. So it's very crucial to make the Russia and the Ukraine and the European and the U.S. To talk each other. So otherwise, cannot have ceasefire.
Well, before we go, I would like to ask you if there is something that can be prioritized and easily done in order to create a better atmosphere and kind of spirit from both sides for cooperation, what would that be? And what would the area that you think would suggest to your leader when they are engaging with one another?
He's going there to sell the message for a better mutual understanding and to prepare for the challenges ahead. And all these personal visits help to get a better understanding. This would be my recommendation.
My advice actually to the Chinese government is to open more market to the European entrepreneurs, like our visa free policy, to verify of the comprehensive investment treaty, actually, after elections in the European Parliament, which is very helpful from the Chinese side to do first.
Wang Yiwei, Ulrich Bruckner, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. A German with the heart and affinity for traditional Chinese culture. The cross-cultural journey of Liu Chengyong next.
Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
Traditional Chinese culture has fascinated many curious minds all over the world. Liu Chengyong is one of them. Liu hails from Germany, sitting as president of the German Taoist Association. He has been interested in traditional Chinese culture at a very young age. In my talk with him, he says various cultures can learn from one another and human values can be shared. How did you get into Taoism?
So when I was a child, I was a little bit sick, and my mother found a doctor who's professional in Chinese medicine, and he suggests I should meditate and practice Qigong and also change my diet. The diet is very important for the health and, you know, for the longevity in Taoism. So that time I already changed to a Xuxingren, like a cultivator. But it's so early, I'm like 4, 5, 6 years, you know, start meditating. And over the time I practice martial arts, different type of martial arts, until I find the perfect martial art fit for me is the Taijiquan, Wudang Taiji. So I also get very interested in Taoist scriptures and start about 10, 11 years, I start reading Tao Te Ching. Tao Te Ching is very famous in Germany, in Western countries, especially because the philosophy connects with the people directly. And it's very important to have a bridge from this culture of the East to the West, and the Tao Te Ching is a perfect bridge or perfect tool to open it.
Taoism pretty much is a combination of philosophy and religion, isn't it?
Yes.
The philosophy is based on how the natural world works, while the religion part is very much based on a world that is governed by Tao.
By Tao, yes. In the Tao Te Ching, there's a saying, Tao sheng yi, sheng er, sheng san, san sheng wan wu. So Tao give birth to the one give birth to the two, and two give birth to the three, and three give birth to the myriad things. We are part of the myriad things. And so you can also understand it in a very scientific way. The Big Bang is the one, yeah, so Tao give birth to this one little point, which is called Big Bang, and then it develops into two. So we have material and antimatter, right? So we have yin yang, and then it develops into all the things we know nowadays. The stars, we say shen, but in fact it's xing. So the shen, the spirit or the gods, they are actually beings the stars are beings, the trees are beings. So Taoism developed into a religion based on belief that everything has a soul, everything is a being, the stone, the stars, everything. So we just give them a human image so we can connect with them a little better.
So how about now? What about the Chinese, you know, common folks, young folks, their curiosities about Taoism?
So in China, especially in China, I see a lot of young Taoists. They want to become a Taoist priest, so they start very early, chujia, so become a monk, become a priest. And it's a different thing in the West, because in the West there is not so much knowledge about this kind of lifestyle as a Taoist priest living in the temple. But there is places, and we all try to develop this kind of knowledge, or also the transparency that there is something more beyond the Tao Te Ching and the philosophy that is well practiced overall in China. And it's a language barrier and also a culture barrier. So we try, me and also other Taoists in the West, we try to build a bridge so people can learn more of the traditions of the culture. You know, the culture, the traditional Chinese culture goes hand in hand with Taoism. And you cannot separate that, because it has a 5,000-year-old history. So this is very important to understand the culture, to understand this religion / philosophy.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do? I know you tried at least to translate Tao Te Ching, which is the original script for Taoism, into many different European languages, English, Spanish, just to name a few. So when you are doing this translation, it's like renew the studying again, isn't it?
Dao ke dao, the ke is a very important word. Laozi come from Luoyang, and the people in Luoyang use this word differently than anywhere else. So to understand this text, you need to understand where it's come from and when it's written. That's very important. Yeah, ke is like in Luoyang, they say, 你客吃饭了吗? Did you already eat? So dao ke dao, fei chang dao, doesn't really only mean that the Tao you can name is not the original Tao, but Tao is everything. Everything and nothing. So if you see the, like, give me an example, you have a little dot, yeah? It's so small, nothing can fit inside. This is Tao. But Tao is also so big that everything is within this. There's nothing outside of this. And this is a good way of describing it.
How has the ultimate script of Taoism, Tao Te Ching, and also your practice of this religion / philosophy helped you to navigate what you are encountering every day?
There's a sentence, Ci Jian Ran, which means the three treasures of cultivating Tao in this world. In the Taoism, we say we have three treasures to learn the Tao. It's Tao, scriptures, and the master. The Tao is within the scriptures, and the master teaches us the scriptures. But once we understand all this, we need to also live a normal life and live the Tao. And how to do this is Ci. Ci Bei is being mercy, benevolent for all the people. So I live my life not only for myself. I'm not selfish, but I will try to understand everyone, also the reason why they do the things. The second is Jian.
Empathy, in a way.
Empathy is, of course, I have to understand why people do something. Therefore, I can become in harmony with them. You know, don't fight against their reason or something like this. It's very important in nowadays times to understand the opposite person also think that they are right. They have a right to have an opinion, right? But if I have a different opinion, I need to not fight against this. This is not Tao. You know, I want to harmonize with this. So I try to understand the opposite and find platform where we can harmonize. Yeah? Maybe sometimes it's just one word or one root. For example, the religions. These days we talk about the religion have one root. It is very true, because we all want to be happy. And this happiness can only be achieved through harmony. Everyone is harmonious, so we can also be happy. The second word I just mentioned is Jian, it means simple. I have to live a simple life. If I earn a lot of money, it's fine, but I cannot take it with me once I leave this human realm. So I can also use my wealth to do very good things. 善人做善事. So if I do good things, this will also benefit me and also others ultimately. So the third one is don't put myself in front of others. So Rang, we say Rang, let others go first. So for example, I give another example. If I want to help someone, I do it from my heart, not because I expect something back. I do it because this person needs my help, and not maybe I can gain something out of this.
And that's all the time we have for today. I'm Tian Wei. On behalf of my team, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.